You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Oh, yeah, we're having a good time this morning. It is the Mike Salk Show in Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com. I was sort of depressing Justin earlier with some comps between this Mariners season so far and 2010. I don't want it to get to that point. And thankfully, like at four games below 500, 14 and 18, they're not there yet, not even close. But again, well, close, right? Because you shouldn't say not even close. They're not there right now. But you cannot afford another 2-7 road trip. You got to go out and win a couple of series. You've lost, unfortunately, five series in a row. So that's kind of the spot they're in right now. And you know, today is an off day. And I think that leads to a huge question mark about Jared Kelnick. And so I kind of want to talk through that here in a moment. And we'll ask Jeff Passan about it at 7:30. And Jerry's going to join us this morning, Jerry DePoto, at 8:30. So tomorrow is going to be a big day in my life. I think I mentioned, and Maura, I had a funny story about this. You were asking me about the procedure I was having tomorrow. And I told you sort of an adult male procedure. And Maura's like, Maura's the best, because she comes over later and she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to, like, ask you about that. I didn't know what it was. And she's very, and you're very nice, honestly. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I think we should talk more about these things. Like, I'm not embarrassed about going to have a vasectomy. We should talk more about that. That's a whole thing.
Like, how now I'm just tied into this conversation.
Yeah, now, this is really a conversation. It's about you. No, the part of the story I wanted to relay, though, is I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she's like, so that's a hell of a way for your parents to hear about you having a vasectomy.
on her birthday, no less.
I was like,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I thought I'd mention that to you. She's like, no, you hadn't. And I was like, well, surprise.
Yeah. Did I need to call you and ask you?
Right. Like, yeah, this is it's one of the problems with sort of living your life on the radio, but then also having like a real life with real parents and stuff. And your mom just being like, yeah, I don't know that I needed to know about that, but thanks for bringing it up. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you, jokes aside, terrified to my core, terrified to do this tomorrow. I will be shaking like a leaf. I am petrified.
You had a texter text when we first started the show that said they got it done yesterday. Wasn't nearly as bad. The anticipation, as bad as they thought, the anticipation was worse.
The anticipation's awful.
It
couldn't be worse than the anticipation. I am like, to my core, more frightened about this. And I've had other surgery. I mean, I had 10 surgeries on my hand. I was a kid. Those were all, for the most part, emergency surgery. So I didn't really have much of a choice.
Yeah.
I've had, you know, gone under for endoscopies, and I had a nodule removed from my throat. And I've had,
what was the thing last year that was painful?
I had the kidney stone that needed surgery, right? I had to go in for that. Like, I've had surgeries and stuff. They make you nervous. I wish this was surgery. I would feel so much better if they just knocked me out, woke me up, and were like, yeah, it's done. And then I'd move on with my life. But the fact that there's no actual, like, general anesthesia has me, like, shaking. I am petrified of doing this tomorrow. So
I fully understand.
I got a text here. He says, Mike, it's not that bad. I went through this twice. What do you mean twice? Why did you have to go through it twice? You're only supposed to go through it once.
No, that doesn't help.
That doesn't make me feel better.
It didn't take?
No. Like, or you know what? I'm moving on. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm sorry. But I guess I brought it up. So
yeah.
Instead of vasectomy talk, let's talk about the future of Jared Kelnick.
That sounds good.
That's a good, nice, easy segue.
Yep.
I said to you, what, a week or so ago, that today was kind of D-Day for me, decision day for me. Like, it's an off day. Decisions often get made on off days. Can Kelnick put something together between now and today, or then and today, to kind of show you that he belongs in the majors? If I were in charge, if I were Jerry DePoto, I would send Kelnick down today. And I wouldn't do it for the benefit of the baseball team right now, because I understand the argument, which is, well, where's Kyle Lewis? That's when the real decision comes, because without Mitch Haniger healthy, the real decision is, well, when Kyle Lewis comes back, then you're probably sending him down, because you got to do what's best for the ball club. I think you got to balance that with what's best for Jared Kelnick. And I'm at a point now. I know he had the big home run, but I'm going to play you this Churchill sound, and I think it's part of the issue. I think it's time for his development, not necessarily just for the best thing for the baseball team, because I think Kelnick, and I want to give him an immense amount of credit for this, his defense, his base running, everything else he's brought to the table outside of his hitting has been above expectation. He has not taken any of his struggles with him, and he deserves, seriously, an immense amount of credit for it. I love the kid. I still am very high in his long-term future. I think if you allow him to continue at the major league level, going through this in public like this, I don't think it's good for him, and I eventually don't think it's good for the team. And while his defense might be marginally better than Steven Souza's, and maybe the bat is the same right now, I think for the benefit of Jared Kelnick, I think I'd rather see Steven Souza here for the next week or two until Kyle Lewis is ready. So why? Because he doesn't seem to have a real plan at the plate that's working. This was Jason Churchill yesterday.
Jared Kelnick is in a situation where there's probably a mechanical fix to make, and there's been a lot of tweaking, you know, over the course of his very short big league career. But I think it's mostly about timing and being able to cover, you know, certain parts of the zone. If pitchers don't throw Kelnick a pitch in a certain one or two areas of the strike zone, he's not getting a hit, Mike. Like, that's what we're looking at. And if you want somebody, a young hitter, that is the polar opposite of that, it is Julio Rodriguez. And that is a big reason why Rodriguez is performing right now and Kelnick is not.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And because of that, let him figure it out in the minors. Let him get the confidence back. Let him figure out and remember what he's been as a hitter so that he's not going through this so publicly. Here was John Morosi on the same subject yesterday with Wyman and Bob.
It takes a lot of work. When you're reformulating your swing or going through a slump, you have to put a bunch of swings in every day. That's a lot of toll on your body, and you're already spending a lot of your efforts at 2 o'clock, 5 hours before the game starts, and you're tired already, and then you're really chasing it. So I think Jared probably has to get to a spot where he goes to a less pressurized environment and get the at-bats.
If that's the case, then why wait? Why wait for Kyle Lewis? I understand the thought process behind it, but I'll argue with Jeff or anybody else who wants to tell me the best thing for them to do is wait. I don't think it is. And that may save him right now, save him, quote unquote, from being sent down. I don't think we should look at it that way. I should take that word right out of my mouth. The idea of sending him to AAA is to save him. It's to salvage Jared Kelnick and get him going in his mind and get the confidence back and let him feel like what it was for most of his baseball career to be able to go out and do his thing. And especially, there's another thing Churchill said yesterday about his hands, right? Said that he wasn't trusting his hands. Do you remember that? Well, that to me is a huge, huge issue.
Because that's what Kelnick said he did trust.
That's what made him Jared Kelnick. Smell you later. I always know that I can get to the fastball, so I can wait on the curveball.
Yeah.
Well, if he's worried right now that his hands aren't fast enough, let him go down, face some of the chumps in the minor leagues, and come back and hit. Minor league baseball is night and day different right now from the majors. You want a little example? Cal Raleigh tore it up.
Yep.
In AAA when he was down there.
Just recently. Last
week.
Yeah.
He was hitting like 300 in AAA. And legitimately, and I say this with no joy, Cal Raleigh might today be the worst hitter in Major League Baseball. I mean, he looks completely incapable of getting a hit. He's hitting like 0-50.
I know the numbers don't help me.
I mean, I'm not trying to, that is not a long-term view on who Cal Raleigh is, but the way he's playing right now is of that level. And he just tore up AAA like it was nothing. Let Kelnick go down there, beat the crud out of some terrible AAA pitching, get his confidence back, come up here and did what he did in September.
Hit the ground rolling.
I really think that it's in his best interest as well as the team's. So we'll see what they decide. As I said, we'll talk to Jerry DePoto coming up at 8:30. Up next, we can ask Jeff Passan about this. It is the Mike Salk Show on Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, kind of a big gulp moment right now for the Mariners as they've now lost 5 straight series. It seems like coming home, unfortunately, was not the remedy that they had hoped for. Yesterday, again, just one bad inning that did them in. Logan Gilbert was great. but gave it up in the fourth.
Now the stretch and the 2-1 pitch. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field down the line, and this one is gone. A grand slam for Reese Hoskins. Just fair down the left field line, and it was a bolt. His fifth home run of the season, and it gives the Phillies a 4-1 lead here in the top half of the fourth inning.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was too much. 4-2, your final. Hoskins homered in every game in the series. And once again, the bats just unable to come through with a big hit. Multi-hit games for Frazier and France and Crawford, that's been a familiar story. But the bottom of the lineup, again, silent, also familiar. The team 2-5 on the homestand, and now a very interesting and huge three-city trip through New York to see the Mets, then Toronto and Boston. They need to play better on this trip, period. Cannot afford another 2-7 kind of road trip. And for that, Scott Service knows they got a hit.
Off day tomorrow. I think we've played 16 consecutive days, so we'll be off, regroup, long road trip ahead of us. But, again, we got opportunity here for the guys to step up. And, you know, we need to hit on the road. I've always said you got to win on the road, you got to hit on the road. So we need to pick it up offensively for sure.
I mean, they also got to hit at home. So hit somewhere. Just hit the darn ball. John Morosi says that's a decent possibility that'll happen.
The signs that we're seeing right now from Rodriguez, from Frazier, I think his at-bats have been better the last week, 10 days or so. So when you add all these players together, in addition to France, as you mentioned, Crawford coming back in the lineup, I really believe that top to bottom, this lineup is about to turn for the better.
Yeah, I hope he's right. Off day today, so we've been talking about whether or not a roster move could be in store and, you know, what that means for Jared Kelnick. As I said, I think I would send him down today, not punitive and not not because Kyle Lewis is ready. He's not. I just think it's the best thing for his long-term development. And I got a bunch of texts when I made that point a few minutes ago saying I just don't see how hitting bad pitching is going to help him. I don't think his problem is that he's not good enough. I think his problem is his confidence. It's mental. It's just trusting himself and believing in what he's always been. And if he can go down and beat the tar out of some bad pitching, I think it would do some really positive things for him. By the way, it's exactly what happened last year. He came up, got overwhelmed a little bit at the big league level. They sent him down. He got his confidence back, and then he crushed it down the stretch. If you could get the real Jared Kelnick to stand up, you're a much better baseball team.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, schedule release day in the NFL so you can start making your plans for the fall. All indications right now, rumors are, the Seahawks will open at home against Russell Wilson and the Broncos. Do you like it? I talk myself in and out of this, but it feels a little early for the Russ matchup, don't you think?
No.
You want it right off the
I
bat?
Want it immediately.
Why?
I mean, I think early is going to be uglier for the Seahawks.
Rip the Band-Aid
so
off.
So much new.
I want it right away.
I want to see what Russ looks like in a Broncos uniform for a month or two. Kind of work up my feelings before he shows up here. And kind of like the level of frustration could be great. If Russ comes in like 6-0 and the Seahawks are 2-4 and then they beat him. I don't know. I think you might be looking at this all wrong. I think getting him in here a little bit later might be more interesting. But sounds like that'll be a primetime matchup in week 1. We'll also find out when Bobby is returning with the Rams. Sounds like the NFL is essentially like leaking their own information throughout the day today. So we're getting like little bits and pieces of the schedule. We know that the Bucks and Chiefs are going to play week 4. Does that get you excited? Like, why do I need to know that that's coming week 4? I don't know. The whole thing will come out tonight. I think it's at, 5 o'clock our time.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, it does sound like there's some momentum building for a DK Metcalf deal to get done. That's what Ian Rappaport said yesterday. And then Mike Garofalo went one step forward and said, yeah, here's sort of what a deal could look like.
I made a point of saying A.J. Brown got $25 million per year. And if I'm DK Metcalf, I'm saying I've got to be north of that because my numbers are better than A.J. Brown's. I was named a second team All-Pro. A.J. Brown wasn't. But since we've gotten a look at that deal, it's not quite 25 in real money. It's kind of, if you look at the structure over the first couple of years, like 23, I believe, Ian, is the number we came out at. So if DK Metcalf gets to a real 25, like he's going to earn 25 per year over the first couple of years, now I think you're in the ballpark.
Well, I mean, that certainly seems like something they're going to have to get done. Once they didn't deal him at the before the draft, I mean, it makes it pretty clear to me that they want to get some sort of a long-term contract done. So we'll see what happens there with DK. NBA action. My Grizz straight up stomping the Warriors last night. They get back in the series. 134-95. Blowout win. Doing it without Ja Morant. three players scored 21, and they'll now shift back to Golden State with the Warriors still up 3-2. Kind of reversal from game four. This time it was the Celtics blowing a fourth quarter lead, Milwaukee storming back to win by three. They take a 3-2 series lead as well. And then three games in the NHL, Calgary, New York, Florida all win, and then all of those series at three are 3-2. So everybody who played last night in a playoff series is 3-2. Everybody in both sports.
That's
apparently what. That's the score.
Two NBA games tonight.
Yeah, they're just going back and forth, right? 2-2, 2-2.
Yep.
And two. Yeah. So a lot of people kind of disagree with me on Kelnick, and that's fine. Salk, I would think it would really hurt Kelnick's confidence if he struggled against his former organization in New York in front of those fans. I agree with you. That's another good reason to do it is now. Flip side is maybe he goes there and just like it all kind of comes together for him and he just shoves it right in New York's face. I mean, that would be pretty awesome.
It's in his personality.
And there is like some irony or maybe sort of sadness to like this series happening with Robbie Cano DFA'd and Jared Kelnick in the minors. Like, man, that kind of went awry. but I do think it's the right thing to do. Someone else saying it seems like the 150 is the real Kelnick. I don't think so. I mean, he's too highly regarded. He's got too much physical skill. And we saw what he was capable of last year in September. That's just as real as what he's, you know, struggling now or what the way he struggled in last May. So let the guy go get his confidence back and then come back up here and kind of do his thing. So, all right, we'll talk to Jeff Passan about this, as I said. We'll do it next. It is the Mike Salk Show here on Seattle Sports on 710.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, as I said, Jerry DePoto will join me coming up here in an hour. Right now, it is our friend Jeff Passan from ESPN. Hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I was telling people tomorrow's going to be a big day. Big adult male surgery planned for tomorrow, if you know what I mean. A little procedure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I think so. Just a vasectomy, but I'm legitimately terrified of it.
Oh, good. Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it and I'm very, very afraid of it, to be honest with you.
It's a laser procedure these days, right?
Well, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure how it works, but, you know.
Wait. Hold on a second. You're getting cut somehow in that area, and you haven't taken the time to look into how it's being done?
Yeah, there's
are you just not curious?
No, I'm not that curious. Okay. There's a local doctor here named Dr. Snip. That seems to have sort of cornered the market on this. And so you just go to Dr. Snip and you get it done. Yeah.
So is there a commercial?
No.
Call 888-4-DR-SNIP?
Yeah.
888-4-DR-SNIP?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, he's been around for a while.
So you picked the guy who is going to, I'm not going to say castrate, but going to take care of your business.
Yes.
Based on an ad?
Well, no, everybody goes to see Doc. He's like the big thing in Seattle. Like everybody, like that's where you go. You just go to Dr. Snap. It's not like he's not like a lawyer. He's not like a, you know, an ambulance chaser or something. Like he's Dr. Snap.
This feels like the Saul Goodman of SNL to me.
Well, no, this was his name was already Snip, right? Like, so it just kind of worked out that this was his career.
Wait, no.
All right, I'm just kidding. That's not
actually
true.
Actually,
no, I'm just kidding. That's not
okay, true. Okay, because that would be self-actualization, yeah, like 99th percentile right
yeah.
there.
Now that manifestations become a thing, like his parents manifested that right from the beginning.
Like if your name was Mike Awfulfake, it would be perfect. Yeah, you'd be in the right business.
All right. Hey, I'm not the one who came on and proclaimed the Mariners here to stay, only to have them now kind of fall apart. So let me ask you a serious question. When does a slow start become a problem?
Well, we can look at the 1931 Washington Nationals who won the World Series. We can look at the 2021 Atlanta Braves who were under 500 still, I believe, in August.
and who at the All-Star break right beforehand lost their best player and still went out and won a World Series. So I have a little more tolerance now than I did in past years, I think, for teams that get off to bad starts being cooked, right? I don't think the Mariners are cooked. I still, you know, considering the wet blanket hood that was bestowed upon me once upon a time, I think my belief in the Mariners, which remains, despite all of this, is going to be steadfast for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there comes a point, Mike, at which all of the other teams in the American League make any sort of a recovery from, you know, this disappointment moot. But let's also remember the Mariners are four games away from being a 500 team.
Yep.
And if we look at the grand scheme of playoff caliber teams right now, the Yankees are a playoff team. Anyone else in the American League, you sit here and say they're a playoff team unequivocally?
Not yet. The Angels are sure making it a compelling case, but other than that, there's no one else.
They look, yeah, the Angels look really good. I think the playoff caliber teams right now in the American League, you have faith that the Yankees, the Rays, and the Blue Jays are going to be somewhat in the mix. In the Central, the Twins are off to a good start, and I think the White Sox, especially once they get healthy, are going to take control of that division. And maybe Cleveland hangs around on the periphery. And then in the West, you've got the Angels, the Astros, and the Mariners. And let's remember, we've got six teams going in this year. They're going to be extended playoffs this season, and there's going to be more opportunity. And that opportunity, I think, is what keeps Seattle and even Boston, by the way, which is 11-20 and which has the second worst record in the American League. I still haven't given up on the Red Sox because I'm looking at talent. And the Red Sox, for their flaws, have a good bit of talent.
Yeah.
The Mariners, for their troubles, still have talent. And I'm worried a little bit about Jesse Winker, and now if he's not the guy, if he's not even half the guy the Mariners thought that they were getting, then that's a real problem because he was supposed to be a linchpin of that lineup. But if you look, Mike, over the last 2 weeks, who has the best Seattle Mariners everyday player been?
Well, it's Ty France, J.P. Crawford, and Julio Rodriguez.
It's Julio Rodriguez if we're just looking at wins above replacement.
Sure.
And the fact that over the last weeks he's hitting .340, that he has stabilized himself to the point where he looks like he belongs now and frankly is only going to get better. I think that bodes awfully well. Not having Mitch Haniger's a problem. I didn't think we would be at the point where Mitch Haniger would be so integral to this Mariners team that losing him for a stretch would have the effect it does. But I really think that without him in the lineup, they're suffering. And it's going to be interesting to see when Kyle Lewis comes back, where does he fit in and how does he change the trajectory of this team?
Yeah, and honestly, I think if I'm Jerry today, today's their off day, I'm probably sending Kelnick down today and not waiting for Kyle Lewis. And it's not because, I mean, Kelnick's been, give the kid credit. His defense has been stellar. He hasn't taken any of the hitting issues with him anywhere else. When he does get on base, he's running well. He's finding ways to contribute to the team. But for his own good, not to punish him for any other reason, but just to get him right, I think I'd send him down to AAA, let him go hit, because by all accounts, the problems he's having are mental in terms of just how much he wants it and how tightly wound he is rather than physical. And why not let him go down and just get confident again?
Well, I think that presupposes that sending him down would have that causative effect. And I don't know necessarily that it would. So let's look at it the opposite way. You're Jared Kelnick. You're 22 years old. You've been in the big leagues and you're struggling, but you feel, you have felt for 2 years now, like you are a big league player. So is the yo-yo thing going to have that kind of effect on him at this point? Or if you're the Mariners, you just say, we believe in the kid's talent, we believe in his ability, and we think that allowing him to remain with the big league team long-term is going to be the thing that's better for him mentally than getting him on this train between Seattle and Tacoma.
I guess the reason I would say that it's worth it is because it worked last year, right? I mean, he came up, he had the god-awful May, they sent him back down, and when he came back up, he was a completely different person, right? And in talking to him in spring training, he basically explained how awful it was. Like, look, I lost my confidence. You start to doubt who you are as a person, et cetera. And his mom showed up and really kind of got him out of his funk, and he got his confidence back, and he came up and he ripped it in September. He was fantastic. I guess I'm hoping that you could essentially repeat that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the goal, right? And if it were that linear, I think the Mariners, frankly, would have done it already. But there is going to come a point, especially if they don't turn things around here, where there need to be consequences. And you look at those consequences, Mike, and Jared Kelnick is probably the guy who makes the most sense to be the scapegoat in terms of just the ability you have to send him down there, knowing he's young, knowing he's talented, knowing there's still plenty of time with him. I also don't necessarily like the idea of blaming a particular person for a team's issues. And let's put it this way. Let's flip the Mariners' record. And I know I'm living in a hypothetical world here, but let's say the Mariners are 18-14 as opposed to 14-18 right now. Are we having this conversation about Jared Kelnick?
Yes.
Or is this more a function? You think so?
Definitively, yes. Definitively. Because it's not about, I'm not looking at it punitively. I don't think he needs to pay for them being 14-18. I think he needs to go get right. It's about his, you know, there's some of it's long-term development. But I want to ask you about a couple other guys. So let me move on. Because the second question I have, and I guess it's related, is what do you do if you're Jerry? Do you look for outside help? Do you double down on your win now season, or do you wait it out? Like, how do you handle things if you're Jerry?
Oh, they are definitely, at least right now, in a wait and see mode. I don't think that record really significantly matters until probably the middle or end of June, because that's the point at which you may have dug yourself a hole from which you cannot escape. And you need to be realistic about what your 2022 season looks like. I don't think if I'm the Mariners right now, I go looking to add. Because, I mean, at this point, what are you going to add? What's the cost going to be? And how much is it going to definitively impact the course of your season? That said, if an opportunity presents itself, Mike, and you feel like you have a trade that you can win, sure, you go out and do it, and maybe that trade is adding, maybe that trade is subtracting. The biggest difficulty to me in being a modern general manager is the push and pull of the present and the future. And I don't think the Mariners have lost track of what their future looks like because they were more in on the present this season. Right? Like they still believe that the long term is the most important thing. You just can't ignore the short term. And we're still pretty far away from making absolute judgments on the right buttons to push. There's not enough context there right now. You don't know what these other teams are going to look like a month and a half, 2 months down the road to know whether they're as formidable as they look at the moment.
Did you get a chance to see any of George Kirby over the weekend?
I sure did.
What'd you think?
He's really good. Like, we were sitting in the green room at ESPN Studios. They have 6 TVs in front of us, and I probably spent the majority of my time focused on the Mariners game because I just enjoy watching a guy whose fastball is so consistent. It was 97 almost every time. And it's 97 with command too. Like he's moving that thing around the zone. And if you have a fastball that has that kind of velocity and you have the ability to put it in different places, I'm not saying that's all you need to be successful, but that is a foundational element right there for almost all of the best pitchers, best starting pitchers in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. That I have a fastball and I can put it where I want it. And I can, it's weaponized when you have that command, right? Like velocity is great. And we've seen plenty of guys succeed on velocity alone. But when you've got the velo and the ability to put it where you want to, that's leveling up as a pitcher. And there's a reason George Kirby's been unhittable ever since he got drafted by the Seattle Mariners a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's because that fastball plays the way it does. And between him and Logan Gilbert, those are two potentially elite pitches. And then the secondary stuff is almost gravy.
Not bad when he's got that 98, and it also has arm side run the way his time. I mean, I watched Pitts like totally blown away by what we saw, because, I mean, now that's also the best he's been. Even Scott said after the game he was better in that start than he was at any point in spring training. So, all right, this is good. Jeff, thank you. I think you've made, I mean, people are shocked. We have people here saying, I can't believe I'm listening to Jeff Passan to talk me off a ledge. But, yes, that's where we've gotten to in this point.
I would like to believe that it goes to show all of the sobriquets assigned to me once upon a time may not have been entirely fair. Maybe I was just the arbiter of reality and the teller of truth.
Don't tell this to the people. Nobody wants to hear that from you, Jeff. No, the people won't believe that. Others to believe this is the same group of people that wants to see me wearing a lampshade on my head when I come back into work on Monday after the procedure. So, you know, it's an interesting group.
Can you? I wouldn't entirely discount the benefit of doing so. It'd be good for others.
Yes, it'd be good. Yeah, nobody would have to look at my face. It's a win. It's a win all around. All right.
Exactly right.
Goodbye, man. We'll talk next week. See ya.
Hey, buddy.
There you go. There's Jeff Passan usually Wednesdays. I mean, you know, signals mixed up yesterday, but Jeff will normally be here Wednesdays at 7:30, and he's a voice of positivity, a voice of hope, a voice of patience.
The arbiter of reality.
The arbiter of reality.
It's my next band.
Right after Banana Famine?
Right after Banana Famine.
Let's talk to Brock.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a burner.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Well, good morning, Brock.
That hurts, Justin.
What?
Seriously. That hurts.
Which part?
Well, what about the illusion of complexity?
The illusion of complexity was going to be...
That was our band.
That was the name of the album.
That was the name of my album from Banana Famine.
Oh, for Banana Family?
Yes.
Famine.
Banana Famine.
Oh, Banana Famine.
Yes. So I was thinking,
not Banana Fingers.
The arbiter of reality could be a better for like a solo rap career maybe than a band, because it's arbiter is a soul thing.
Yeah,
so arbiter
true,
is, if I pluraled it, maybe it works.
All right, I'm better now. Okay,
you're in the band, though, if you want.
Yeah, some of the text, Brock, coming in about the whole getting snipped thing is all over the map here. Yeah, literally 425 says, can we get a picture with Salk with a cone around his head on Monday like a dog? I mean, like, come on. And then Jason from Pasco says, is that the same Dr. Snip that works out of the parking lot of a vacant Kmart? All right, you know what?
Yep.
Guys, you're not making me feel better.
I'm trying to remember. Was it you? It may have been somebody else. And I'm not even playing dumb here. I'm trying to remember. I think it was you that said Heather really didn't give birth because it was a C-section.
That was me, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
no,
was
I didn't.
Okay.
Well, I didn't say she didn't give birth. I'm aware right. of the fact. But, like,
yeah.
that she didn't go through some of the
right,
pain
right.
associated
pain.
With
a C-section
childbirth.
Is much more invasive than what you're doing
I
tomorrow.
Understand that it's a surgery. I get it. I know. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We don't need to revisit this conversation,
so this
all right?
It's coming back on you. And on top of that, when I went and got mine done,
I think,
like,
hold on. And I think what I said was, because I had had the kidney stone, which are often compared to the pain of childbirth, was that Heather couldn't necessarily relate because what I went through was much more painful. All right, I couldn't get it out with a straight face. I tried.
There you go. Yeah, Maura, you tried. Yeah.
I tried.
So when I went and got mine done, I had asked the doctor, I said, hey, does anybody go natural?
What?
Because, you know, I mean, women go natural through labor. It sounds like an exorcism. I mean, if you've ever heard it, it's awful. But so,
you wanted to go like anesthesia drug free?
Yes.
No numbing agent?
Yes.
What are you, insane?
So that's what I asked the guy. I said, hey, any guy ever gone, you know, like a woman does for birth? Any guy
right.
ever gone?
What did he say?
He said one.
What?
He was, yeah. He was on the lam. And he couldn't have a record of anything, and he paid cash, and it was early in his career. So, yeah. So that was it. He said the guy, I mean, he passed out. There was just no chance that he could
yeah.
Stay. Yeah, yeah. So, as I said, I said to you Monday.
Out. Why would yep. you allow that?
He said he wouldn't do it again. It was early in his career. And, you know,
I was
the guy,
young. I needed the money.
Yeah, he was stuck. He was in a tough spot. So, okay, fine. Here you go.
That is really funny. Kudos to you. That's good. Good okay. job, Brock. Thanks, that's buddy. That is vintage Brock Ewart to ask that mm-hmm. question.
So do we think Kelnick's getting sent down?
No,
today?
I don't think he is necessarily. Okay. I think if I were Jerry, I would. I would do it. And again, it's not punitive. Jeff Passan was trying to make it seem like, you know, I was trying to blame Jared Kelnick for their struggles. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
This to me is about Jared Kelnick's personal development and letting him go
does
down.
Does that development come? You said something yesterday and it stuck with me and I didn't fit it in yesterday on our podcast.
Rare.
And I know, because usually I do. And you said
rare that I say something that sticks with you.
Well, you and Howdy both said the same thing. Like, man, AAA is awful.
Terrible.
I mean, it's terrible. So when you say go down and develop, do you even develop at AAA?
I don't mean to. I just mean go down and get your confidence back. I don't think Jared Kelnick has a problem with who he is as a player. He's got a problem with his mental state.
I guess so. But I just don't know if that happens down there. I don't know if that happens going and playing a par 3 course and feeling great.
Really?
And then I got to go play from the tips at Sahale, and it's like, ugh, those
well,
those
but it's
trees.
Better to just keep playing the tips at Sahale and knocking
know.
It into the trees?
I mean, I think a fair question, too, is how many times do you go back and forth? How many times do you get sent down? Or is it... hey, man, this is going to be hellacious, but you just got to go through it here. I just don't think that there's healing. I don't think there's development. I don't think you're going to get better doing it at a lesser speed or anything, because you're going to have to hit this stuff, not that stuff. You're going to have to hit this stuff. So you're right. Psyche, confidence. Okay, you feel good. And then you come up and you go 0 for 18 and then what? Right? I mean, how much of that yo-yo back and
well,
forth versus...
again, I would feel worse about that if it didn't work last year. He went down last year. He figured it out. He got his confidence back. He came up and he hit.
Yep.
I mean,
in September.
What I mean, like, that's invalidated in some way?
Well,
it's
I mean,
worth
September,
more.
In September, you get to face some teams.
Not as much as it used to be.
Okay.
And they were in it. I mean, that's not what... That just wasn't the reality of how it went for them in September. They were facing good teams heading to the playoffs, and they...
In big moments. He had some big moments. But, yeah, I mean, I think that that's what they're wrestling with. I think that's the hard spot that Jerry and Scott are in. Okay, mm-hmm. Does this truly help him? You know, we know his psyche. We know him inside and out. We know him better than anybody else. So I'm going to trust their decision in this. But is it really to go down and play in some of the altitudes you get to in AAA against some of the pitchers you get to face and go and feel good? And then all of a sudden, is that the kick in the pants that he needs? Or, hey, you did it last year. Your mom came and made you breakfast, and it was all great. But you've got to do it this time at this level.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And to me, it's not a kick in the pants. It's not a wake-up call. It's not angry. It's not punitive. It's none
it's
of
just
that.
No, it's just a confidence builder.
It's what Jerry DePoto said to us last week, that we will use the minor leagues as a life preserver. That was his quote.
Mm.
And I think that's what Kelnick might need. Just throw him a life preserser. Let the guy get back on the boat and get him get his feet set underneath him, and then let him jump back in. But just throw him a life preserver right now and let the guy kind of... You know, and unfortunately for Cal Raleigh, they don't have another catcher, but if they did, I would do the same thing.
Yep.
Cal Raleigh in AAA this year, in 7 games in AAA, is hitting .286 with a home run. In 13 games in the majors, he's hitting .065 with a home
Yikes.
Run.
Yikes.
You want to talk about the difference between the minors and the majors? .286 to .065.
Are we talking tuna or are we talking baseball?
I don't know. Why would we be talking? Oh, now we're back to being on the boat.
Yeah, the minors and the majors. Oh, has the fat in the minors. Oh, good fat in the minors. Isn't that what they do on Wiccatuna? You were a star of Wiccatuna for a while,
I was
right?
Not a star of Wiccatuna.
Don't they take the belly fat and they look at it? Ooh,
they do.
A lot of fat in the majors and a little weak in the minors.
Maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe.
Okay.
Seahawks going to sign DK. It sounds like there's some momentum building. They're going to get that done now, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Good. I don't think he's going to be part of any trade. You know what a lot of the buzz in Bronco country is with Russell, though. Don't you know right now, this day, a lot of the buzz is week one Sunday night football.
I know. That's what people are saying here.
Russell's return to Seattle.
It's a little early for it. Like, I want to get myself like 6-7 weeks in.
You sure?
Yeah.
I think the only stumbling block for NBC in the NFL and
right.
the decision makers, all that schedule comes out today. Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't you want them when the crowd is hyped?
Don't you want it on a September beautiful day?
Don't you want it with maybe the unknown of
no.
Drew Lock versus
I want
a
Russell
1-5?
Coming in the rain where he struggles, playing a 2-4 Seahawks team that beats him and embarrasses him. That sounds much better.
That's right. I forgot about you.
That's, yeah.
There's one agenda. It's not storytelling at the NFL. It's yep, good. Okay. All no, right. you've wrote the script for
yep.
every one of Russell's 16 games, haven't you?
Pretty much.
What time is that coming up? At 9 o'clock? Salt yeah. goes through every one of Russell's debacles starting.
No. We're not gonna do that.
Oh,
no,
we're not?
No, we're not doing
oh, okay.
that.
Okay.
No,
all
we're
right.
we're a happy, positive kind of show these days. Yes. Goodbye, Brock. We gotta go talk to Bump.
Okay.
See you later. There you go. Brock Heward every day at 7:45 and 9:30. And yes, we will talk to Michael Bumpus next. Want his thoughts on the schedule and DK as well. It is the Mike Salk Show on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.